We've been concerned for some time about the high numbers of people travelling via public transport without any real kind of protection. The train union UNTA told us last week as well that there are 300 to 400 passengers going on a train journey during specific periods during the day. Now, the same applies to buses and private transport in the form of minibus taxis. We're not looking at the same numbers, but the numbers are high. And these forms of transport all have something in common. They've implemented some measures to sanitise their vehicles, and they're really trying to be as diligent as possible in most cases, but they're not actually practicing social distancing, and that is quite important. Let's speak to Dr. Karen Bregg, the spokesperson for the Colleges of Medicine of South Africa. Dr. Bregg, good afternoon, and thank you so much for your time on Afternoon Drive. So the sanitizing of vehicles, as we've seen, is quite widespread, but is it enough?
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on your show. So we undertook a rapid review over the weekend together with the University of Stellenbosch and the University of McMaster for the College of Public Health Medicine, which is one of the colleges of the Colleges of Medicine of South Africa, and looked at some of the limited evidence that is around on interventions using for reducing the risk of viral infection while using public ground transport. And I think that it's revealed to us most of what we would expect, which is that social distancing is incredibly difficult on public transport. The risk of transmission is associated with seating closely in close proximity to a case, the duration spent in proximity, and then also inadequate ventilation and consequential recirculation of virus droplets. So we know that the virus that COVID-19, or that's the SARS virus that causes COVID-19, is spread through droplet spread, which means that somebody who's sneezing or coughing or touching from their face or from their nose, all of that spreads like, and the virus spreads through that route. So the difficulty is on public transport of being close to each other. Whether that's not only on the public transport, but also in the hubs of where people stand to wait to collect their public transport. So those are some of the particular challenges around public transport.
Right. I mean, you've also looked at risk reduction strategies, right? Because you've looked at international and national guidance on that. And I must make it very clear to our listeners at this point, these are not measures that government has introduced. These are measures that you, as medical professionals, are suggesting in terms of how to deal with public transport at this point. So talk us through some of those strategies, please, Dr. Bregg.
Sure. So the first is around minimizing the use of public transport. So obviously with a for organizations to try to minimize work from work for people so that they can minimize their use of public transport. The other option is to stagger work shifts where possible so that people can avoid peak travel periods so that at least they are able to sit a seat apart from somebody else, and also in the hubs can stand apart. In terms of recommendations for individuals, that they also reduce their non-essential travel on public transport, so only to leave home for work, shopping or medical needs as needed. Stay home if they're sick, so particularly if they have symptoms of COVID-19, which are fever, cough, shortness of breath, and those are some of the commonest ones. To then rather call the Department of Health hotline and not go to work, inform their manager. To wash hands and sanitize before and after travel, and to avoid touching rails and handles. So to board transport with hands clasped together, and then try to queue. So one of the things that we can do is in the hubs is to ensure that queuing is 2 arm lengths away from other passengers.
Right.
And then once you're on the vehicle, to ensure that windows on both sides of the vehicle are open so that there can be through flow of air. So those are the main things that we've come up with.
You know, I'm very interested in your social distancing measures as well, because they're a lot more nuanced than the measures we're currently implementing. And I see that one of them you're suggesting is staggered work shifts. What would be the purpose of that?
So the whole point is to reduce the numbers of people at any one time. So that's both inside the workplace, but also in the queuing areas, in the hubs where you're collecting transport, as well as on public transport. So the more distance we can place between people, the lower the risk of transmission. This is not an airborne infection, so it doesn't float in the air. It's specifically droplet spread. So it means that you have to be close enough or touch something that somebody else has touched or sneezed on. And so the more distance you can put between people, the more chance there is, the lower the risk of transmission. So one of the very useful illustrations that we've been using in the Western Cape is what we call the gold glitter. So if you imagine having gold glitter, the case, having gold glitter on the palms of their hands and gold glitter around their mouth and nose.
Yes.
And everything they touch, so if they touch their face, if they touch a handrail, if they touch the doorknobs, so doorknobs are also very common, any of those things, they will leave glitter behind. And if then a contact comes along and touch the same doorknob, they will then get gold glitter. So if you can imagine, we want to reduce the gold glitter. If they sneeze, and if you're in a close enough proximity for them to sneeze, then you will get gold glitter. So the idea is that if you can keep distance far enough away from each other, that you don't get the gold glitter.
That's actually a wonderful analogy, especially in explaining to children how you want to prevent the spread of corona. Any more?
And that's also part of the, yes, and that's also part of the surface cleaning. So that's why the cleaning and sanitization of vehicles is very important. So that includes handrails, waiting seats, anything where people would be touching. So that can be used. Soap and water is very effective at preventing this virus from living because it has a fatty lipid membrane, and any soap will dissolve it. It doesn't matter what soap. Doesn't need to be expensive soap, just plain old soap.
All right.
And then sanitization with a mild bleach solution according to guidelines. It will also help hand sanitizer. It can also be used where no soap and water is available, and that needs to have at least 60% alcohol content in it.
All right. Just a last question that some may find a little controversial, and this is in regard to how you feel taxis, buses and trains should perhaps be regulated in the coming days. One of your suggestions is that you regulate all that government regulates for no more than 50% of carrying capacity for the vehicle. I wonder how well that would go down, particularly with minibus taxi drivers.
Yeah, I think that you know, we're in unusual times. And so all of us have to acknowledge that that we have to do things differently. So we're all being restricted in terms of our movement. And so, you know, all of us are going to have to compromise at some point. And certainly if we can restrict to 50% of carrying capacity, that means that you should at least have a seat between you and another passenger, which obviously then means less gold dust, right? And less chance of gold dust, of the gold glitter being spread. So if that is possible, if we need to continue with taxi, buses and trains, that would make a huge difference. But obviously, you know, there's one thing of what we advise, and another is what's really practicable. And in reality, we just need everybody to understand we've got to reduce the numbers of people coming into contact with each other.
Right.
And so if we can do all of these things all at once, you know, as many measures as possible will help reduce the contact of individuals with each other.
Dr. Karen Begg, very good talking to you. Thank you for your insights. She's the spokesperson of Colleges of Medicine, South Africa.